This is titled Around the World in 90 Minutes. How fast do you have to move to go around the world in 90 minutes? Slow or fast?
Slow.
We're gonna go fast. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then let's move quickly, purposefully, but quickly. And I want you to throw those hands up when you have questions, okay? Father God, we trust that there will be order in this chaos. We trust that there will be growth, and growth is always done in dirt. It's always done with messiness. Dirt flies, water is spilled, fingers get nicked, feet get dirty, and that is good. And there is growth in a field. There is growth in dirt. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for this group. I'm excited for the energy in the room, Lord, the spirit in the room. We leave it all at your feet, and we praise you in advance for any growth that occurs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we got a few more. Yay. All right, so these are the double pages. So maybe some of you older guys take the double pages. It's kind of an honor to get a double page. And then, of course, you can tape it together. All right. Okay, so can I ask you to keep the talking amongst yourselves to a minimum? I can raise my voice and I can project, but it takes a lot of energy. So I would love it if you kept the talking amongst yourselves to a minimum. I'm not suggesting you can't talk at all, but I am asking you to keep it to a minimum. Let's start. What is a biblical worldview? So this is the easiest question you're going to get all day. What is a biblical worldview? Throw a hand up.
Jesus.
Throw a hand up.
Christ-centered
what?
View of the world.
View of the world. This is the easiest question. What is a worldview? It's your view of the world. Can you have a non-Christian worldview?
Yes.
What do most people have?
A non-Christian
worldview. Do Christians sometimes have non-Christian worldviews?
Yes.
Do most Christians seem to have non-Christian worldviews?
Yes.
Here's the big fancy church words. You don't have to write these down. It's good to know them. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy. Orthodoxy, ortho means right. Doxy means belief. Orthodoxy. Most Christians have pretty good orthodoxy. It ain't great. They don't read their Bibles like they should. They don't know all the doctrines that they should. They certainly don't know these 99 essential doctrines. If all Christians knew that poster, the world would be a different place. If Christians just knew that poster. So there's good orthodoxy. It's not great. We don't know enough. We don't maintain enough. We don't learn enough. We don't meditate enough. We don't pray enough. We don't read enough. Orthodoxy, right belief. Orthopraxy, praxis. Praxy, I'm helping y'all with your SATs. You're welcome. Praxy is what? Right?
Practice,
exactly right. So orthodoxy, right thinking, orthopraxy, right what?
Action.
Okay? So what is a worldview?
Orthodox.
Both. Orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Here's another easy one. You can, by the way, get in the habit, if it doesn't look like it fits, turn this over and start taking notes. This is a great place for you to take notes today. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy, biblical worldview. I've already taught you three things. I told you we're going to move quickly. Here's another one. It just left me. What are we talking about? Oh, what's the quickest way to determine what somebody believes? What's the quickest way to determine what somebody believes? Perfect. Let's be a little more specific. I love your answer. Very specific. Very specific. In other words, throw out some specifics. Brandon.
I actually have a question.
Ortho, O-R-T-H-O, ortho, O-R-T-H-O, doxy, D-O-X-Y, praxy, P-R-A-X-Y. Y'all help Brandon. What is orthodoxy?
Right
belief. What is orthopraxy?
Right
action. Right practice, right action. Good. What's the quickest way? I'm going to give you guys this one. This one's a little tough. Quickest way to find out what somebody believes. How do they spend their... Good, and that's it. I can tell you what you believe. I can tell you what you believe. I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a ventriloquist. That's so funny. I'm not a, what do they call them? They pretend to read minds?
Psychic.
Psychic, thank you. Not a fortune teller, not any of that. But I can tell you what you believe if you let me see your phone and your checkbook. I just heard some groans.
What if you don't have those?
Well, if I see what you spend your time with, if I watch you spend your time, if I watched you over 48, 72 hours, 24 hours maybe, maybe not, a week, if I watched you over a week, if I watched you how you spent your money over a month, certainly over a year, if I watched you for a year, I could tell you what you believe. And you would say, yeah, but Pastor Nate, I'm a Christian. I go, cool, that's cool. But you spend all your time playing video games. Like literally all your time. Like that's all you do is play video games. You doing that for the Lord? I didn't know he needed high score in Pac-Man. I didn't know that was something he desired. Cool though. Pastor Nate, I love Jesus. Cool, cool, cool. You spend a lot of time on TikTok. Like, I mean a lot. And it's not even religious content. Like, if you were just watching religious content on TikTok, I might go, amen, you're a missionary to TikTok. God bless you. Somebody needs to be a missionary to TikTok. Did you hear that? Somebody needs to be a missionary on TikTok. Guys, we had this conversation this week. We were talking about geography and, you know, if you drive 12 hours in a van full of people, just all sorts of conversations come up. And somebody was saying, what was the most important thing in the 19th century? And or what connected people in the 19th century? And I said, railroads. What connected people in the 20th century? Roads. What connected people in the 21st century?
Cell phones.
Go a little further.
Internet.
Go just one step further. It's apps. It's connectivity. It's Facebook, TikTok, and WeChat, right? I mean, everybody is on the top 5, top 10 most important apps, and they spend their lives on those apps. Yes? No? Yes? So do we need missionaries to build churches right next to interstates or next to rail lines? Is that what we need a desperate need for right now? What do we need missionaries to? TikTok, WeChat, Instagram. Like, I'm not even playing. We need Instagram missionaries. Right? Like, the 21st century is a fifth gone. We're a fifth of the way into it. This is who we are and this is what we are. So I know I'm rambling a little bit, but if you showed me your checkbook and your phone, I could tell you what you believe. And listen to me very carefully. I got 10 fingers. 9 of them are pointed at myself right now. Like, I'm not judging you. I'm stating really obvious things about all of us. You with me? About all of us. Okay, so I told you we were going to move quickly. Here's what I want to do in this session. I want to get big picture. I know. Don't let this overwhelm you. I want to get big picture. And then the next session, I want to get detail oriented. Okay? So let's try to be big picture this session. And let's try to get detail oriented the next session. How are we doing so far?
Great.
I told you, we're going to go around the world in 90 minutes. It's a lot. Have y'all ever heard that we're going to drink from a fire hose? You ever heard that phrase? Drinking from a fire hose? Does that sound fun? Drinking from a fire hose?
Exciting.
It's exciting. That water's coming hard. All right, here we go. What are the three main worldviews in the world? In the world. What?
Naturalism.
That is a great answer. Oh, it's on there. All right. Sorry. Naturalism. What do we know about naturalism?
It's natural.
What do we know about it?
No God.
There is no God in naturalism. You can write that down. That's really good. There is no God in naturalism. There is no God. And we're going to put little g because I don't even like writing that. There is no God in naturalism. You can write it however you want. It's yours. Who made naturalism famous?
Darwin.
Good. Name another person that made it famous.
Einstein.
Good. Who said Marx? Well done, Brandon. That's a deep dive, but it goes everywhere, right? Everywhere. Marx is the hidden secret power that goes everywhere.
Utopia. Was it more?
Sir Thomas More.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me another one. Good deep dive. Give me one more big dog. There's a philosopher you should know. You know it. Half the room knows him.
Aristotle
believed in... That's good. No, you're good. Keep throwing those out. Aristotle comes up all the time. So you had a good shot at that. I'll give you this last one. It's Nietzsche. Caleb. Nietzsche. Somebody was going to get it. It just had to be me. Did you say it?
Yeah.
Have the courage to say it loud. Nietzsche famously said God is dead.
Yeah.
Famously. Okay, so we'll come back to that. What's the other big one?
Christianity.
Yeah, let's do it last.
Transcendentalism.
Transcendentalism. Transcendental. What is transcendentalism? Somebody.
Multiple gods.
Multiple gods. Let's go a little more.
You are God.
Does it say that?
No.
Good job, Caleb. Listen, if... Caleb, seriously, good job. If naturalism is there is no God, transcendentalism says you are God. Caleb, I meant that sincerely. Good job. You are God. Okay, watch. Do you see what we're doing? How many different beliefs and religions are there in the world?
A lot.
Big six plus. A lot. What are we doing? We're kind of simplifying them down to three. How many Abrahamic faiths are there?
Three.
Good. What are they?
Christianity, Judaism.
Now watch what we're about to do. Why are we going to put Christianity in the middle and not the other Abrahamic faiths? Here's, watch. Judaism?
No God.
Just hit pause. Right? Still on pause. How long have they been on pause?
2000.
At least?
Yeah.
Right? 2400 years, 2600 years, still waiting on the Messiah. I know His name. I promise you I'll lead them to Him. Are you with me?
Yes.
Why am I not putting Judaism up here? God bless them, literally. God bless them. But they missed it. They missed it in the Gospels. If you really want to spend some time walking with me on how desperately the Jews missed it, read the Gospel of John and see how desperately the Jews missed it. And they've been missing it ever since then. Read John 8. Just read John chapter 8. Write that down on your notes if you want to. Turn your thing over if you want to. John 8. John 8. The whole chapter. You got to read the whole chapter. And really you should read all of John. But that's how badly the Pharisees missed it. So, why don't we put Judaism? Because they're on pause, still waiting for the Messiah. Why don't we put down Islam? This one's easy. Why don't we put down Islam? If Judaism...
Hostile.
If Judaism didn't go far enough, what did Islam do?
Too far.
Man, they just kept going, right? Like we had the Messiah, and then Muslims go, wait, we want a God too. And we were like, slow down, you can have ours. And they were like, no, own God. And we were like, well, it's not a good idea, but okay. And they did it, right? Read the Quran, I have, dozens of times. I've taught it, I've read it, I'm here to tell you, it's a garbage book. Y'all can send all those emails to novanatecarroll@gmail.com. Islam is a terrible, terrible, terrible religion, led by a terrible, terrible, terrible individual. Right? Here's the only three things you need to know about any religion. All you got to do is look at the religious leader, the religious followers, and the religious book. Simple! Write that down. What are the three things you should look at for any religion? What did I just say?
Leader,
the leader,
followers,
the followers,
and the book.
And the book. That's it. This is not complicated. What happens when you look at the Old Testament? Pretty good book. Seems to stop in the middle. In fact, the last word of the Old Testament is curse. Yikes. You know what the last word of the Bible is? Amen. Lord, come quickly. I know which book I like the ending of better. So the last word of the Old Testament is curse, and there's no outcome. The last word of the New Testament is God, garden, me, you, His name on my face, and I get to see Him face to face. I'm in. New heaven, new earth. I've already told my people this. I can't wait to go to the new Japan and the new Ireland. Those are the two places I'm going. New Ireland, New Japan. I mean, the current Japan and the current Ireland look really great already. Can you imagine the new ones? Anybody want to fly? I'm jumping off cliffs. I don't know about you. I'm jumping off cliffs. Expand your imagination, people. It's going to be amazing. Right? Leader, book, people. Which would you rather be in a stuck elevator with? Six Muslims or six Christians? I'm just asking. Just asking questions. Which would, seriously?
Christians.
If you're a woman, oh, it's changed now, isn't it? You're a woman. You want to be in an elevator with six Muslims or six Christians? It's not complicated, is it? It's not complicated. I said this last night. How many Muslim hospitals do you know? I mean, they shut them down and bomb them. We go and build them. We put crosses on them, to be sure, because we're pretty proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just keep building hospitals and giving away medicines. Like, I'm really proud of my faith. I don't care what TikTok tells me I'm supposed to do with it. I'm really proud of my faith. Because I'm not making it, it's making. Say it. My faith is making me. So, leader, book, followers. Not complicated. There's nobody like Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus. Okay. So in transcendent, where did we stop before I rambled? What did I say? What?
You are God.
Okay. Okay. Do we understand in transcendentalism, you are God? Everything's God? I can show you websites right now, Unitarian transcendentalist websites right now that say, this table is God, you're God, the wall is God, the fly is God, the fly that's on the glass is God. And I don't mean to be crude, but your bowel movements are God. I'm not making this up. I can show you the websites. Everything is God. Listen, take that to its illogical conclusion. Everything is God. My goodness, is anything God? I mean, does the word God mean anything at all at this point? You know, for a Christian, one of the definitions of God is I don't know. One of the definitions of God for us is I don't know. That's cool to me. So if somebody says, what does God look like? I don't know. I'm not Him. How strong is He? I mean, really? Well, can you know everything about Him? No. Right? So for a Christian, there is a divine mystery that is really cool. Because it implies, whatever I am, I'm this many. Whatever He is, He's this many. Right? So transcendentalism says, no, we got it all figured out. And also you're that too. Christianity finds this beautiful balance. And I want you to hear this because this is big picture. Christianity finds this beautiful balance in all the world. It is neither too hot nor too cold. It is neither too strong nor too weak. It is not too rigid. It is not too soft. It is perfect in every way. The other way of saying that is it's balanced. Christianity is balanced. It is the Goldilocks of religions. It is perfect because the God of Christianity is, say it,
perfect.
And so, naturalism says there are no gods. Transcendentalism says everything's a god. And Christianity says what? There's just one. And you can know Him. Like, I'm automatically already in. I'm not really interested in being God. That sounds cool for about a day. Until I realize Caleb's also God. And then also Sister Wynn is also God. And also my Caleb is also God. I mean, it's like, does that even mean anything? Like, you just cut me off in the road and gave me the you're number one sign. You're also God? I don't like that God. That's not a fun God. I don't want any part of you. Okay, so let's move on. Questions or comments so far? Oh, I know what we were saying. So why Christianity? Why do we say Christianity here? Instead of saying the Abrahamic faith. We already answered it. But why Christianity alone? Simple. This is an easy one. Why do we put Christianity alone up there? Balance.
Correctable.
Yeah, it's Christ alone, right? Like, compare Christ to Muhammad or Moses. It's not complicated. Compare the New Testament to just the Old Testament or the Quran. It's not complicated. Compare followers to Muslims or Jews. It's not complicated, right? We got our problems? Yes? I'll take us. I'll take the kingdom of God over the other two. I just will. So Christianity. Okay, three major worldviews. Any questions so far? All right, let's do a little more fleshing out of our trees. What is the worldview of the big idea? Another way of saying this is, what is real? If you want to put that little question down there, feel free to do that. What is real? This is the question of reality. So what is the worldview of the big idea? In other words, what is real? You could also, and so let's try to answer that. What is real for the naturalist? What is real for the naturalist?
Everything you can see.
Yeah. Only the five senses. Now that's a simplified version. It's the natural world, right? The natural world. What's the only thing real for a naturalist? Only the natural world. You know the problem with naturalists? There's many. You know one of the problems with naturalists? They keep moving the goalposts. And they do this all the time. I know, raise your hand if you watch any kind of popular philosophy or thinking or anything important, any kind of narrative on YouTube. Raise your hand if you do any of that on YouTube. Could be a public speaker, somebody, you know, any, just a couple people. Okay. Well, there's a real common thing that takes place among a lot of naturalist thinkers. It blows my mind that they do this. They'll say things like, well, Christianity is important because it obviously developed the Western world. The Western world's pretty important, and it gave us a lot of things. I myself am an atheist. And they'll camp out on that for like an hour. And I'm thinking, whoa, 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 go back. Just admit and sit with, you're enjoying all the fruits of Christian belief with none of the discipline, none of the interaction, none of the devotion, none of the sacrifice, none of the giving, none of the movement. You're not doing anything that's additive. You're only taking away. Why am I still listening to you? They do it again and again and again. These naturalists want to somehow act like we've evolved. We're on to the next stage of evolution as humans. I'm like, time out. Everything about you is Christian except you won't bend the knee to Christ. Like, you want to follow the Ten Commandments. You want to be kind to your neighbor. You want to treat women well. You want to be, you know, you want all the things that Christ said do, but you don't want to follow Christ. So you're cheating. You're cheating. You're basically a Christian, but you want to have your cake and eat it too. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to follow the Ten Commandments. You don't want to, you know, be a part. You want no skin in the game. So naturalists do this, but they only hold to their five senses. It also blows my mind too, because they're the first to call a preacher when their loved one's dying in a hospital bed. They're the first. I can't tell you, I'm in my 30th year of ministry. Here's how I answer people when people ask me this. Pastor Nate, how big is your congregation? I used to would say, if 100 people came on Sunday morning, I'd say 100 people. You know what I say now? Well, 100 come on Sunday morning, and they've all got family, so it's about 500 or 600. That's who I minister to. Because if one of my church members calls me on a Friday night at 2 in the morning and says, Uncle so-and-so's dying, I need you to come, it's 2 in the morning, he's not a believer, he's never darkened the doors of a church, what am I going to do? I'm going to go, aren't I, Caleb? So I go to the hospital. I spend 4 hours with that family. They're all weeping and gnashing their teeth saying, how did God allow this to happen? I don't know. Your 65-year-old uncle ate fried chicken every day and he got a heart attack? Like, the natural world is in play when you want it to be, but not when you don't want it to be? So like coronary arteries work for Christians the same way they do for non-Christians? Do y'all know that? Do y'all know sugar works through the blood for Christians the same way it does for non-Christians? Caffeine. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? So they want it all. Preacher, how'd this happen? Your uncle's 64 and lived a terrible life. I don't say that, Sister Debbie. I never say that.
I'm not that young.
I don't say that. I think it. Naturalists want it all. But they're committed to only live... No, what's real? Just what you see. Really? What about quantum physics? That feels real too. Right? Quantum physics doesn't seem to obey any rules. There's got to be a divine somewhere because quantum physics doesn't make any sense. Right? Yeah, no, we'll figure it out. Well, you haven't yet. You've been working on that one since the 50s. And it's getting worse, not better. So these guys are committed to the natural world. What about the transcendentalists? What's real? What's real to a transcendentalist? Hold on to your hats. This one's weird. What's real?
Nothing.
I like that answer. It's not fully accurate, but I like it.
You.
What?
You.
Okay, I like that answer too. What's real? Bounce off of this one. Only the natural world is real. That's good. These are good answers. Only the spiritual world. Only the spiritual. Y'all were so close. Y'all were so close. If the naturalist says only the natural world is real, the transcendentalist, by the way, let's stop for just a second. What do we mean when we say transcendentalist?
Transcending.
Buddhist, much of Hinduism, Shintoism, Taoism, Oprah. I always like doing that one. Any rock star who wants to be God, y'all join in at any point. We got any English majors in here? Any English majors in here? Tears going down my face. Tears. All the there were.
Which one is Zoroastrianism in?
We'll throw that in here. Sure, why not? It's more Eastern than Western.
Yeah.
He said Zoroastrianism. That is such an obscure religion. Such an obscure religion. But we'll throw it in here. The transcendentalist poets, Walt Whitman, Emerson, Thoreau. Y'all have heard those guys. No? All right. I'll move on. I had to read all that stuff. Y'all have heard of Moby Dick, right?
Yes.
Herman Melville, transcendentalist. I had to work for that one. Only the spiritual world exists. Here's how dumb this one is. At least with the natural world, I can kind of appreciate that if you took somebody's eyes away, you took somebody's ears away, you took somebody's tongue away, you left them in a deprivation tank, I still think their imagination would run wild and that would point them to a divine. But let's just say that that makes more sense. The transcendentalist is over here saying, none of this is real. None of this is real. None of this is real. Until you pinch them. And they go, ow. They are committed to this idea that this is an illusion. Reality is an illusion. The physical world is an illusion. And the only thing that matters is your soul, which sounds great. Except you're going to live endless lives of humanity in suffering until you figure that out. Karma. Reincarnation. The wheel. None of this is fun. So it sounds all hippy-dippy fun on the surface of it until you go to countries that are really engaged with transcendentalism. And basically, if you were born poor, congratulations, you're going to die poor. And I don't like you at all. And my religion teaches me I don't have to deal with you because you earned it. That sounds fun. Raise your hand if you were here last night. Raise your hand if you were here last night. The King of Glory was born in a food trough. Y'all remember that? The King of Glory was born in a food trough. The God of my religion says, poor, not poor, doesn't matter. Child of God. White, black, doesn't matter. Child of God. Old, young, doesn't matter. Child of God. Transcendentalism says, however you were born is however you're going to die. Transcendentalism says, none of this matters anyway, so we're not going to solve any of it. Transcendentalism says, well, you'll get it next time. But really what they mean is you'll get it 143 next times from now. You got a long way to go, Chief. And you've earned every bit of it. My God, man, we've all earned all of it. I need grace. I need mercy. I need it now. Okay, questions or comments about either of these or what is real? So far, jump in if you have questions. I'm throwing a lot at you. What is real for the Christian? You guys know this.
Jesus.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. All right. What is real? What is real? Good. The natural and the spiritual world is real. How common sense does that sound? How balanced does that sound? I already told you in the next earth, the next life, I'm jumping off cliffs. I'm going to have a body. You know how I know I'm going to have a body? Because Jesus told me I'm going to have a body. You know who got the first body? Jesus. Why is He called the firstborn of the dead? Other people died before Jesus. Why is He called the resurrection of the dead? Why? He raised Lazarus from the dead. Why is Jesus called the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead? Why? Why? We are doing Bible.
He was the first one who rose and never died again.
He first one to rise and never die again. There's a little more to it than that, right? What else? What else?
He was in the beginning.
Okay, so He always had form. Okay, what else?
First glorified.
Glorified, first, and forever, and all of ours comes from His, right? Y'all are all saying the same thing. He, because He is God, and because He said He would do it, upon His death, upon His resurrection, upon His glory, He said, I will have resurrected, glorified form, and, comma, I'm going to give it to you guys too. That's why we call Him the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead. Cool, cool, you guys got that. So does the natural world matter to a Christian? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
That's why we build hospitals. That's why Jesus said, if you give water in My name, it's as if you what?
Take water to me.
And we go around doing that. We go to marathons and hand out water. Those guys have water. We go to marathons and set up tables and we're like, Jesus loves you, and just hand out water. Those people are really happy we do that. We give out protein shakes and all kinds of bananas. I said this last night, but anytime there's a tornado or a disaster, we're usually the first on the ground. There's a cross somewhere of whatever group shows up. Trust me, it ain't the transcendentalists doing it. Transcendentalists don't show up when there's earthquakes. They don't. They just say, sucks to be you.
You earned it.
You what? You did earn it. Literally. Pay it off. Christians are like, I'm sorry. And start moving rocks. We're cool like that. Because our Lord told us to do it. The natural world matters to Christians. Yes? Does the spiritual world matter to Christians?
Yes.
My Lord, yes. My Lord, yes. Sunday morning, I'm actually going to answer this directly. Mark chapter 2 is tomorrow morning. Mark chapter 2 is the Sunday school lesson tomorrow. I'm literally going to answer this one directly. Does the spiritual world matter to Christ? Heavens, 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 yes. Okay, what is truth? What is truth? So this is what is real. This is what is real. What is truth? What is truth? What does the naturalist say?
What we know, what we felt, seen, touched.
Okay, I like that answer. When we say, don't write it down. You can write it somewhere, but we're going to go a little further with that one. When we say truth from a philosophical perspective, what we're saying is what matters, what is verifiable, not just from the senses, but like what holds together, right? If A, then B, then C, then D, then E. It's a deeply philosophical word. By the way, John 14:10. My brain is fried tonight. Where does Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? John 14:6. John 14:6. That's a hint for Christianity. What is truth for the naturalist? Someone else? Who said that? Well done, Brandon. Man, I wish I had candy. I would throw it at y'all. Brandon, how did you come to that? Nice. But how did you come to that, other than having taught it?
Just because there's nothing objective.
Yeah.
Everything's how you experience it.
How do we get there? How does the naturalist get there?
Because it's just based off what I experience.
Good.
What you experience doesn't matter.
Yeah. Very good. And I'm thankful that you've done that, and I hope you do just much, much more of that. So yes, the subjective reality of naturalism, this is how you end up. Now we're going to talk about the fruits of these. So we're drawing the trees, which is to say we're talking about the basis of these three major worldviews. But then like tomorrow, or no, later tonight, we'll start talking about some fruits, and we'll start putting in things like secularism, pragmatism. Did I hear something else? Okay. Things like that, right? So there is no truth. To the naturalist, everything is subjective. You've got your reality, I've got mine. My goodness gracious, I want to apologize to you. I'm Gen X, so I don't like taking the blame. I'm the generation that never got to lead. Woe is me. Baby boomers and the greatest generation just completely led the world for so long it wasn't funny. And then you guys are all Zoomers for the most part. Raise your hand if you think you're a millennial. Raise your hand if you're a millennial. Yeah, you guys, yeah, right. But you guys are all Zoomers, and so I'd like to apologize, but it's you guys, the millennials, and even Gen X to a degree that is turning around going, we didn't create this world. We were born in it. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me very carefully, you just got to be Christ followers. You got to be Christ followers and fix some stuff. Are you listening to me? You got to be Christ followers and fix some stuff. Brandon, I know you're passionate. I can see your leadership. I'm sorry, brother, that we put you in this position. But you just got to fix some stuff for Christ. Y'all just got to fix some stuff for Christ. I'm sorry. Relativism's everywhere. You can watch this is what I mean. You can watch a television show, a TikTok, an anime, listen to a song, go to a seminar. Nobody believes in anything anymore. Nobody believes in anything anymore. I'm over here, I'm 50, I just turned 50. 30th year of ministry and I just turned 50. And I'm sitting over here in the corner and going, I just love Jesus. And I just want to create stuff. But I'm a tiny little person. I'm just one person. I need all of you guys to just rise up and be like, I love Jesus and I want to create stuff. I just need a whole bunch of Jesus lovers to start creating stuff and slowly changing culture. That's what the kingdom needs. It needs a whole bunch of young Christ followers who just want to change. I'm cool if you break stuff in the process. I promise you I am. I'm cool if you get parts of it wrong. You would not be the first. You will not be the last. I just need you to do it. Like the kingdom needs you to do it. Like does it need? Because like God doesn't need us. But things would be better for the world if we did it. Because you live in a world where there's no truth. And I'm sorry. I truly am. I'm truly sorry you live in a world where there's no truth. I'm truly sorry you live in a world where literally a Supreme Court justice cannot say to Congress, I know what a woman is. I'm sorry you live in that world. I'm sorry you live in that world. That a grown woman with a Juris Doctorate and multiple degrees behind her name, letters and titles after her name, brilliant legal mind, cannot look at a congressman and say, I know what a woman is. I'm sorry you live in that world. That's not a complicated question. A woman is an adult female. That's it. Simple. You see how I just did that? A woman is an adult female. Is this real world stuff? Is this real world stuff we're talking about? I've already called Muhammad a pedophile and murderer. I mean, what else am I going to... I'm not real worried what happens to me at this point. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Does worldview matter?
Yes.
Okay. What is truth? What is truth? The naturalist says there ain't none. So what does it matter what I say? It doesn't. You say A, I say blue. You say up, I say red. Okay, what does the transcendentalist say? What is truth? I bet y'all can get this one compared to this one. Who said that?
I said it first.
Everything is true. Hey, this one feels good, right? This one feels good. But if everything is true, is that even a true statement?
No.
Is it a false statement? What kind of a statement is it? It's a nonsensical statement. Everything is true except the statement that I just told a lie. If I tell a lie, is that also true? My head hurts right now. And I'm just playing around. How can everything be true? If you slap me, is the truth that I slapped you? Is that what just happened? As a teacher, listen to this. As a teacher, I've had an event at school where a child did X. And I've called the parents and said, I need you to come up to the school. And the teacher came up, the parent came up to the school, and I said, little Johnny did X. And the parent would look me dead in the eye and say, no, he didn't. That wasn't a Chinese parent, was it? What is true for Christianity?
Jesus.
Thank you, brother. Now, Brandon, I know you well enough. I don't know you well at all, but I know you well enough that you weren't just giving a Sunday school answer. We're not doing Sunday school answers for these two sessions. This is up here. Brandon quoted it. Or Brandon, John 14:6.
Oh, you said that my belief,
Christians really believe that truth is what?
Jesus.
Yeah, so let's say it a little differently. Truth is what?
Jesus.
A person. His name is Jesus. Truth is a person, right? Now, to a transcendentalist, they would say, hey man, all people are true. And we go, slow down. You just cut me off in traffic, slow down. But to a naturalist, they would say, there is no truth. But to a Christian, we would say, you can know truth. Well, no man can know truth. Well, he's a person. Right? Who treated women better than Christ? Pick anybody. And this is what's funny. Increasingly, I'm going to start saying this. I used to say in the ancient world, who did X better than Christ? I'm just going to start saying in all of the world, in all of the time. Ladies, do you trust any politicians any longer? Do you trust any famous men any longer? Do you trust any men of power any longer? Because I'm male and I don't. Y'all can amen me on that if you want to. The men can close their eyes. Ladies, amen that. Why aren't the FBI storming Ghislaine Maxwell's records of who went to Jeffrey Epstein's island? Because we live in a fallen, broken world and rich men are still running it. I'm just going to start saying Jesus is better than all men of all eras, everywhere. And not in the ancient world, any parts of the world, ever. Why do I say truth is a person? Because I've met him. He's awesome. He never lies. He never doesn't do the thing he says he's going to do. He told me he loved me and then he did it. He told me that he cared for me and he cared for me. He told me that he'd never leave me. He hasn't yet. He told me that he'd provide for me. He's done that too. Are you with me?
Yes.
Truth is a person. I don't have a problem saying that. I don't have a problem comparing him to any other human being, past, present, or even future. I've met too many people. Just met too many people. Okay. Questions or comments so far? Y'all are doing awesome. Okay. What is the goal? What is the goal of naturalism? What do we mean by goal? Throw some synonyms at me.
Endpoint.
End game.
Purpose.
I like that word a lot. Outcome. What are you looking for? Where does the rubber meet the road? Checkbook and time. How much time and money do you spend? Okay, orthopraxy. What's the goal of naturalism? Be, as it relates to the person, be good. Be yourself.
Have fun.
Have fun is a great, that's a great answer. You know, for some people, it's punish themselves, though. That's their form of fun. Like get up at 3 in the morning and run 40 miles. Okay, all right. Yeah, I know those guys. They're on YouTube, too. They post their watches every morning. Jocko Willick posts his watch every morning. He gets up at like 3:30 in the morning, takes a picture of it, and then starts running. Like, whoa, you're 50. It's like, it's okay, dude. It's okay. You're retired from the Navy SEALs. You don't have to do it. I mean, God bless him. Jocko Willick. Be yourself. Okay. Listen to this. Where have you heard this one? Where have you heard that? Who said that? It's a trick answer because the answer is everywhere. Jiminy Cricket to Pinocchio. Ha-ha! What is the classic Disney lie? Somebody do this for me so I don't have to do it myself. What's the classic Disney lie? It's in every cartoon. It's in every movie. It's in every short. It's in every long. It's in every animation. It's in every kid show. What's the great Disney lie? It's not, just don't just say this. Believe in yourself. Somebody put a spin on it. Somebody act it out for me. Give me one scene because it's in everything.
Let it go.
Let it go. Good. That's good. It's in everything. Jiminy Cricket talking to Pinocchio. I'm going to, and since none of y'all are brave enough to do it, I'll do it. I'm not going to sing. I can. I'm not going to. Are you going to sing? Oh, okay. Now I'm going to pick on you. Okay, you just drew attention to yourself. I was going to go to Brandon, but now I'm going to you. So, Caleb, I'm going to act. We're going to do this as a teen show. So now we're in an after what? What did you say? Okay, we're gonna do I Caleb, right? This is I Caleb.
Yes.
Caleb, listen. I know you didn't make the team. I'm so sorry you didn't make the team. But listen, Caleb, I just believe you can make it. There's one more opportunity, Caleb. You can do it. Are y'all with me? Is this not it? Right? Is this ringing any bells?
Yeah.
Right, Caleb. Your parents are wrong. They don't understand you like I do. Have y'all heard this kind of stuff in Disney? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Caleb, listen to me. Believe in yourself. Caleb, if you just believe in yourself. Caleb, do you believe in yourself?
No.
Well, Caleb, you just got to... Caleb, right here, there's a little you. Listen to that voice. Just listen to it, Caleb. I believe in you. Do you believe... Raise your hand. Thank you, Brandon. You've all heard that. You've heard it 1,000 times. The great lie of naturalism is, listen, you're going to start hearing it now. You're going to hear it everywhere you go. It's not just Disney, it's everywhere. Watch. What's the most important relationship to a naturalist? Thank you, Brandon. Exactly right. Occasionally, you'll get a parent-child. Occasionally, you'll get a parent-child relationship. It's almost always romantic. Why? Why is the strongest relationship to a naturalist a romantic relationship? Why?
Enjoyment.
Pleasure?
Fulfillment?
Purpose? There is no God, ergo, have as much fun. Somebody said it already. Have pleasure, be yourself, enjoy yourself. And romantic love is the highest love to a naturalist. So every story is going to somehow wrap itself into a romantic love story. And the moment that person fails you, it's their problem. It's never you. It's always them. So what do? You dump them and move on, constantly seeking the next one. So what have you done to another human being? You've therefore made them into a... Say it. God. Desperately trying to fill the God-shaped hole in your life that you've demanded does not exist. And so now you've put all of that pressure on another human being. And they can never live up to that. Never. Never, never, never. Okay, cool. Transcendentalist. What's the goal of being a transcendentalist? This one's tricky. Little twist on this one. Be what?
Be your own God.
Yeah, that's a good answer. We'll make it a little simple. Be yourself. I told you it was ironic. It's the same deal. Be yourself. Watch this. Well, you said it, Caleb. You're already a God. How much self-improvement do you even need? Seriously, answer that. As a transcendentalist, you're already a God. How much self-improvement do you really need? Like a billion times or just none at all? Right? You're there. And if you're not, you're going to get there. Eventually. Somehow. With enough time and effort. Man, if you've never had a... Raise your hand. This is not a gotcha. If you've ever played video games so much that you question reality, raise your hand. All right, I appreciate the honesty. That's transcendentalism in a nutshell. If I just do X long enough, I'll eventually get to do what? X and then move on to Y.
You get some stats.
Sure. Let me pat you on the back for those stats.
I have those stats.
Yeah, I got them too. I'm not going to tell you how many days of my life I spent playing World of Warcraft. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. Not proud. Not proud. Be yourself. Hey, listen. Stay focused. We're almost done, by the way. What is the goal of Christianity? Yep, good. Brandon, in light of this, instead of saying, be yourself, let's stick with the be. Be. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. You guys are working hard on those 99 essential doctrines. Be like Christ. I'm jealous of that. I want one. I'm not making fun of it. I want one. I want that poster. I'm going to take that poster. I just cut out the middleman. I'm taking your poster. Now you have to decide, do I stand in his way? I might just take a photo of it. Be like Christ. Be like Christ. What's the goal of Christianity? It's to be like Christ. Now watch. We'll probably close with this. We're getting close. If we don't close with this, we're getting close. So you can have a sense of relief. We're getting close. Listen, here's the great lie about Christianity. Brother, I need to learn your name.
David.
David, here's the great lie of Christianity. David, the great lie of Christianity, and what I mean by that is the way the world talks about us. Okay? Here's how the world talks about us. They say, David, you need to be more like Christ, and that means you need to stop everything you enjoy. Have y'all heard anything like that? Raise your hand. Come on, you have. The world tells you that all the time. To be like Christ, you have to stop being you. No, that's transcendentalism, and it may as well be naturalism. Here's the joy of Christianity. I already told you we need TikTok missionaries, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Didn't I start with that? We need Christian football players. We need Christian educators. We need Christian cartoonists. That's me. We need Christian... We need... What else do we need? What do you like to do? Right? What do you like to do?
Baseball.
We need Christian baseball players.
Basketball.
We need Christian basketball players.
Ping pong players.
Yeah, we need Christian ping pong players. Math. We need Christian mathematicians. I met one yesterday. We talked for an hour. We need Christian mathematicians. Watch this. I'll tell you a quick story. But let me come back to this real quick. Be like Christ. You are at your best when you are most like Him. Sister Debbie, you agree with that? You are at your best when you are most like Him. In fact, I'm going to say it a different way. You are most yourself when you are most like Him. You like that one, David? You are most David when you are most like Him. I am most Nate when I am most like Christ. Listen, Eric Little, famous Scotsman, missionary to China. Raise your hand if you've seen Chariots of Fire. That's an old one. That's an old one. The old people. Awesome. 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 Great movie. I'm going to try to watch it with my youth group when I get back. Eric Little, Chariots of Fire. Eric Little, Scotsman, 1930s, 20s, 30s. Ended up as a missionary in China, but in the interim, he was a runner. He was a missionary and a runner at the same time. He was a preacher and a runner at the same time. Famous scene in his life. Somebody, he had just preached a sermon, and he was preparing for the Olympics. Arguably the fastest man on the planet. Arguably. Won some, lost some. Gave up a gold medal because it was on Sunday. Huh? Came out of a service, and somebody sincerely asked him, Eric. Sorry, David. Somebody asked him, Eric, why do you run? Which is a pretty good question for a guy that's trying to be a missionary to China. You with me? Why do you run? Seriously. Maybe time to give up the running. Remember, I'm talking about being like Christ. Are you with me? Here's how Eric responded. I love his answer. I've used it for 30 years. Eric said, because when I run, I feel God's pleasure. This is my 30th year of ministry. I will tell you sincerely. I want you to hear this very carefully. Miss Debbie, David, Caleb, Brandon, my crew, I want you to hear this sincerely. I'm passionately, desperately asking you to hear this from my gut. I am most me when I do two things. I love my family. I'm not talking about me as a family man. I'm not talking about me as a son, a husband, or a father. I'm kind of just talking about me stuff. Nate, Carol, just right here, just what makes me me. I'm most me two times. When I'm doing this right now, and when I'm cartooning. Watch this. And I don't need you to affirm me on either of those. Amen? I don't need you to affirm me on either of those. You know why? I feel God's pleasure when I do both of those things. When I draw little cartoons, and I'll show you some if we have a moment, but I don't need you to see them. When I draw my little cartoons, my little worlds, my little... I have a bunny and a turtle and a crow. I draw a really cool tree. Got all these little characters and I make stories with them. I spend a lot of time doing it. I literally spend a lot of time doing this. If you never see them, I'm cool. Because when I'm doing them, I know He's pleased with me. Somehow, God took a little boy from South Mississippi who was raised dirt poor in the middle of nowhere long before there was an internet, where the world to me was a library. God took a little boy out of nowhere. I mean, my nearest neighbor was 3 miles away, and all I had was this and a pencil. And I could draw. And a blank page could be anything. And it often was. And I began to experience my life through something. And the whole while, God was shaping me. God was shaping me as a person. Just like right now, He's shaping you as a person. You might love chess. I got a team over here that loves chess. I like chess. They love chess. You know the difference? You know the difference between like and love. I never have to play chess again the rest of my life. I'm cool. These guys love chess. They're going to play 8 more times today. God was shaping me that way. Where if I didn't pick a pencil up, something was just off. I just had to get a pencil back in that hand as quickly as I could. Just doodle it. Just do something with it. And over time, I realized that I was a Christian cartoonist. I didn't even know the moment I wasn't or the moment I was, but I am. And so worldview matters, y'all. Worldview matters. Because it's how you live life in this world. And God needs you to desire to follow Him. Or rather, I should say, He wants you to desire to follow Him. Questions or comments before we close? Questions or comments? Any questions, any comments? Yes, ma'am. Really loud.
What is spiritual world?
What help me out with your question. So they literally believe that all of reality is an illusion and that the only thing that is real is the spiritual world, which is almost impossible for us to imagine. It's almost impossible for us to imagine. Does that answer your question?
Kind of like things not seen, spirits. Some of them might be the names of other things, but mainly they're talking about like the
good versus evil.
Yeah,
good things, bad things, good worlds, bad worlds, or if it's just like a spiritual person inside of our bodies.
But not people per se, not history,
yeah.
Not buildings, not anything else. That's all an illusion.
It's not just a perfect word.
Mm.
We are the projection of the perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a rough projection, bad projection, twisted projection. Everything we experience is projection.
Yeah.
From the
A copy of a copy of a copy of a copy.
The Matrix movie.